Hey, it's Nick, and you're listening to A Certain Degree. Emily Fontano is back. We're doing a little before and after. She came on earlier this year to talk about the show she had coming up at Fringe, which is called Against Her Wishes. Now she's back to talk about the experience of actually doing that show. And bonus, she's doing the show again. There's a double feature at Dr. Phillips Center on September 10th called Fringe Favorites, and that's double booked with her and Against Her Wishes. And another big hit, How to Play Guitar Poorly. Go get your tickets now and enjoy the show.
Pizzicato 5 on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree. Good morning. My name is Nick.
And I'm Emily.
Oh, I was...
I didn't know.
I was prompting you with my eyes.
Okay, well, I wasn't prepared, but now I am, and I'm Emily.
Emily Fontano is here, one of my favorite people.
Hi.
And just so you know where she ranks in the world, my girlfriend listens to all my episodes, right? All the radio shows,
really?
All the stuff. Yeah, she listens. But this one, she's actually going to listen to.
Oh, okay.
Because you're on.
I understand.
Yeah, because you're on and she loves you.
I spoke to her in a bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as we all do sometimes.
Yeah. It was very girl, like run into people in a bathroom and then have a chit chat.
Yeah. She's a big fan of yours.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. So we saw your show at Fringe.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to seeing your show again.
You're going
to
see it again?
10th. I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think. Are you changing it up?
I mean, just the staging. It's going to be the same story.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, everyone should go see it. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. The show is Against Her Wishes. And it's going to be a double bill, a double feature.
Yes.
With
the Chase Paget.
Chase Paget, yes.
Because
he's got a brother, and then I always look him up. Yeah.
Two Pagets. Some might say too many in one city.
Yes.
It's too many in one city.
It's a lot to fit in one city.
And especially being talented people, it's like you.
Right. It's annoying.
It's a little frustrating. Yeah. But yeah, Chase Paget, How to Play Guitar Poorly. I'm at the beginning, he's in the second.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's going to be over at the Dr. Phillips Center on September 10th. Please go get your tickets now. They are selling fast, so you have to get them.
You have to get them now.
You have to get them now.
Please, whatever you're doing, stop.
Stop.
And go to the computer.
Pull over your car.
Right.
To the side of the road.
Or not. I don't know. Use talk to text or something.
Oh, yeah.
And say it into the thing. Let it go. Get the ticket.
Text the friend that you want buying the tickets for you on your behalf.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then maybe keep driving.
Yeah.
And then maybe think about some other shows you want to see and see if maybe you could text some other people.
Text a bunch of people. Who haven't you talked to in a while?
Oh, so where are you going? Where are you driving to?
Yeah, calm down.
I'm just happy to be here, Nick.
I'm so happy you're here.
I'm here.
I want to pay you the same compliment I paid you a while back.
Okay.
Just in case you forgot.
I'll accept it.
But I want everybody to hear this compliment.
Wow. Okay.
There is an incredible improv performer named Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about him is other than he's whip smart, he is able to recall if you talk about Love Boat and a particular actor, he will be able to recall it
at
any time. He's got tons of characters and he always yes ands no matter what.
Yes.
But the other thing I love about him, and this applies to Emily as well, is he always laughs at other people's jokes. When
he's delighted.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is honestly delighted. And I always think about that when I see you reacting to other people's work, reacting to when you're on the improv stage. When I saw you at Second Saturday a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you were reacting to other people. You were so genuine and delighted in that. Because
really
everybody
am.
Else, like, I hide it, right? You're just like, oh, that's funny.
Oh, you're not a laugh out louder.
I'm not a laugh out louder, but also I think that people in comedy typically aren't.
Yeah, yeah. I can see, yeah.
Right? They're like, oh, yeah.
But this is just the job that we do. This is just what we do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you
not
are
me.
Specifically delighted by it, and I love you for that.
And it's a cackle that I have.
100%.
And so people.
Yeah.
People hear it.
They know it.
And they know it.
Yeah.
That's why it's tough if I don't think something's particularly funny.
Oh, and they don't hear. Did Emily not cackle?
Or what's worse is when things aren't funny.
Yeah.
It's my favorite funny.
Oh,
and so then
awkward.
I'm cackling, but but people are thinking,
wait, was that funny?
Why is she cackling?
Yeah.
And it's because the ship's going down. And I love that. I love when it's bad. I really do. So either way, you hear me cackling, I either think it's hilarious or I know it's dying.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's the best time to cackle.
When things are going bad.
Yeah.
You gotta cackle when it's bad. I'm writing it down.
You gotta cackle when it's bad. That's a t-shirt slash bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta cackle when it's bad.
Oh, it's a song now too?
It is. It's a little jingle.
Interesting.
Okay. Emily Fontano.
Wow.
You gotta cackle when it's bad.
Are you a songwriter?
I am a budding songwriter. A burgeoning songwriter.
I know. I was just sitting here and heard that song and was like, wow, he's been holding out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Speaking of holding out, your show is coming up.
Yeah.
You held out for a couple of years to put this show together so that you could get it into Fringe. You applied for many, many years at Fringe.
Yeah.
And just so everyone's aware, the Fringe process for the main May event is a lottery system.
Yes.
So you apply. Mm-hmm. You maybe get in for the lottery. They have a certain number of slots open for local, for national, and international.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get a good group in, but also they don't know what's going to happen.
All right. They're just pulling it out of
a baggie.
Out of a bing. A ping pong. Bingo thing.
Yeah.
They're just rattling around those names.
Yeah.
And everybody's sitting there watching their dreams, flipping around in a little piece of paper in a side of a bingo turner.
Pretty amazing. So you applied like 75 times.
75 times, but with all different shows. So yeah. I did a podcast with Amanda, which you know. We applied, didn't get in. I applied solo. I applied other shows with other people.
Yep.
Just never, ever would get in.
But you definitely performed.
But then I would get on other projects.
Yeah.
Right. So I would either be in someone else's show, or I would direct a show, or I'd help produce a show. But it was never like the show that I had wanted to do.
Right.
I still wanted to do those shows.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't get my foot in the door. Because it was all a chance of luck. It's not juried, you know?
Right.
Oh, so.
So they do have a couple of juried shows. We're going to talk about Outfest in a little bit. And then we're also going to talk about Winter Fringe.
Yes.
The mini fest. Mm-hmm. So those are coming up, especially Outfest is coming up next week. But going back to Against Her Wishes, was this the first year you applied for that or last year?
No. So
you applied for that
2022, 23, 24.
Okay.
And then I didn't 1 year and got, no, I think I did those 3 years and I just never got in.
Yeah.
With
so
this
you took
show.
A year off and then.
No, because then
year?
I applied in 25 and then got in for the 26.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. And I'll be honest, I applied under Amplified Voices. So for anybody that doesn't know about the lottery, is that there's different categories that you're applying for, like you mentioned, local, international, national. There's also Amplified Voices. So this is a second lottery is added for any marginalized voices. So people of color, LGBTQ+, any of this. And I applied for it. But then on the questions, they said, are you this? And I said, no. And they said, are you that? And I said, no. And then they said, are you other? And I said, I'm a woman. The end.
Oh, the end of the show? Or
nope,
the end of your application
But then
process.
I felt a little bit like, oh, am I not supposed to be?
Yeah.
Am I not marginalized?
Yeah.
And then I thought about it and I was like, Google it. Look it up. I think women are.
I think they
count.
Yeah.
But then I noticed this year, it seems like they changed it a little bit.
Oh, really?
I wonder if they think I bunked the system.
Have
but
you
I
applied
didn't.
Again?
No.
Are you applying again?
Applications just opened. Yeah.
Yep.
I am applying again.
Okay.
So I will not do Amplified Voices because then I felt like, I guess women shouldn't do that.
Are you doing the same show or a different show?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. That's awesome.
I did apply for the Winter Mini Fringe too.
Yeah.
I did a different show for the winter.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
I do.
It's called the Kiddo Show. I think that I'll do it anyways, but it is a children's show. It's a late night talk show for children. And they'll be
Perfect.
The guests. I'll just pull them up from the audience.
Perfect.
Yeah. Kids love talking.
Oh, my gosh. The things the kids saying the things.
The kids say the darndest things.
Oh. Is that the phrase?
Kids say the darndest things. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Or
I
like.
I was trying to remember it.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Oh.
Is that one?
Is that a pig?
You know, I've never seen that film. Have you?
No.
Oh.
I saw Babe 2, Pig in the City.
Wait, why would
I didn't
you
see
have,
the first one?
So then, how could you have understood what was going on in Babe?
I think I could. I got the gist.
It was easy to.
Yeah.
Was James Cromwell also in?
James Cromwell was the city.
I don't think you did understand that film.
I may not have seen this movie. Huh.
Also, okay, well.
Yeah. Going back to Against Her Wishes, this is a very literal naming convention that you have for this because it was against your mom's wishes to have a ceremony, a remembered ceremony or a celebration of life. Yeah.
Don't do anything. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Just have a nice dinner. Go to a nice restaurant, have a nice dinner, friends and family. I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, which is okay. A lot of people like that.
100%.
I think I prefer that probably.
Yeah. Well, we're not doing that for you. We're going to have a big.
Oh, I would love a roast.
Internal cry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No one cry.
Oh, and after. No, we're going to roast you before you die.
Oh. I like that.
After you die.
No, I would like the roast after. I don't want to. Why do I have to hear the roast before I die?
Well, then we'll.
Could it be a boast instead of a roast where you're all boasting
we'll
about
do
me?
Both.
Okay. A boast and roast.
A boast and roast. The old B&R. And then we'll do a Viking funeral for you. We'll put you
what
on
do they
boat.
Do? They go, you put you on a boat and they put you out
into the ocean. And then we shoot the arrow, the flaming arrow, until you catch fire.
And then you just burn up and sink.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Isn't I like that than a lot of the other things that people are doing.
So terrible.
But the thing is, she claimed she didn't want anything.
Correct.
Which I do believe that. But then I did find, like, in a journal of hers that she had written out all of these, like, her, like, all of the music she wanted played at her funeral. So it was kind of like, seems like you did. Seems like maybe you did want something. But you didn't want to tell us.
Right. Didn't want everybody to go to any trouble.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If my mom Janet was anything, she did not want people going through any trouble.
I just don't want you to do anything. I don't want to make a fuss.
However.
It's not for her at some point.
Well,
right? It's for everybody else.
I don't think any of that stuff is for the deceased.
Right.
It's for everybody
They're not
else.
There.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do they give a crap?
Yeah. Let us do whatever we want.
Why does anyone have to make any plans?
So you turned that into an award-winning show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it did. It won Best Solo Comedy.
Yeah.
At the festival. So I'm
very
proud
of
that.
For a very good reason.
Yeah, because I'm a woman.
Because you're a woman.
Because I'm a woman.
Because it was an incredible show.
And it was I did my best.
That you should be proud of. And you were, so when we talked earlier this year before Fringe, I think you also mentioned that, you know, you had the show, you put it up on its feet. You were like, okay, I'm ready. I can do this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because I think that you have been in the industry long enough. You've seen enough Fringe shows. You have done enough writing, directing, all of those things, performing. That you're like, okay, yeah, I got this.
How hard could it be?
And you did have a sense that you needed some help.
Yeah.
And so you went to some women.
Two good friends, Lindsay Taylor and Tony Bonacorso. And this was maybe 2 months before the festival.
Yeah.
And I just, in my head, I always had the show. So I was like, ugh, how hard could this be? But then I thought, maybe I'll have a couple people put some eyes on it. Had them come and look at it. And I did it. I was doing it for them. And after I gave them like kind of the, this is what's going to be, they were both looking at me and they were like, okay, great. Okay, what else? What else is it? And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
And then I realized looking at their faces that, oh, I guess I have to do a lot more work because they reminded me, you've got to have some sort of a script because you have to give it to a technical director who's going to do your lighting. And you have to, like, if there's going to be cues for lights or sound cue, you have to know what the you can't just say, I'm an improviser. We're going to wing it. It's not how this is going to work. And then I realized, uh-oh. So I had to.
At that point, did you have the video, audio, visual elements?
It was all of those things that I always saw. So those things just made sense.
Yeah.
It was all the things in between to get to each cue that I had not hammered out in detail.
Right.
And I guess I thought I was just going to be winging it, which is insane. People would have been.
I mean, not quite insane, but yeah, I could see how it would have made it more difficult trying to do. How many shows did you do total?
I ended up doing 9.
Yeah. Total. So doing 9 of those without each one of them like kind of improv-y?
Right. And
that
also,
yeah.
During a tech rehearsal, I would have had nothing to give to any. I mean,
yep.
You can't. People don't know what to do with improv either.
Yeah.
Like, meaning, like, people running theaters and stuff, when you come in and you say, well, you know, what are the lighting cues? What do you want me to do? Improvisers always just like to say, like, oh, you'll see. You'll get it. But you can't say, you can't just say that to people because they don't. That's insane to think that people are just going to get it.
Well, if you were just going to be on stage doing your thing, that's one thing, right? Maybe you and a guitar, but you had music prompts, you had
right.
audiovisual.
But
you
I never thought about all of that though.
How difficult was it at first seeing them like wanting to give you feedback and you maybe not wanting it?
No, I did want it.
Okay.
No, I desperately wanted it. I just remember they were at my home and then they left. And I just remember sitting there thinking, ooh, like, I got to get to work. And then I felt
2 months.
I felt responsible to them.
Yes.
Like it was, you know what I mean? Like I felt like I had to make Tony and Lindsay happy. I felt like I wanted them to think I had done a good job. So I was like working for them in my mind. And so I could see their faces when they weren't pleased with some of the work and I would get anxious, but thank God I had them because they were pointing out things that were helpful for me to see. They were noting things that I took for granted that I didn't think much of. They were able to say, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, oh, really? My childhood learning disabilities that never got diagnosed is funny? They were like, yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, everyone like, can relate to that.
I'm like, well, not to me. It's not that hilarious to me. But thank God for them. I love them. Lindsay and Tony, shout out. Kisses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to mom, she didn't want this, but you did find some stuff that indicated that maybe she did want this.
Mm-hmm.
You've been kind of stewing on it for a few years
mm-hmm.
and you get some help to do it.
Yeah.
And now that we're past it, so last time we talked about it was before,
mm-hmm.
you do these 9 shows.
Yeah.
I got to see what I think it was the last show you did before Patron's Pick.
Yep.
So it was essentially the last show that you were doing. Adam was there.
Yeah.
And he had to leave.
Yeah.
He had to leave the show because he was very emotional.
That was like the 5th time he'd seen it.
For sure. But I could see that. And you actually had some friends come in out of town. I think they were there as a surprise. I don't think you knew.
Was my mother's friends.
Yeah. And so they came to see it.
Yeah.
So my question is then, how cathartic was it to finally be able to do this?
So I underestimated that element of it. I was so hyper-focused on, because leading up to the show, you do have to do a lot of like the admin, you know.
You have to put your A-frame
posters,
up.
Like, you know, everything. You're promoting it. It's all on you, really. So I was so distracted by all of that. I wasn't really thinking about what the show was going to do. I just needed to get it there. And I underestimated how exhausting it would be, like emotionally and physically. And I didn't consider that we never really got to mourn my mother the way that I think we all wanted to. And that means my family, my 2 brothers, wives, kids, my childhood friends, my mother's childhood friends. People came from Massachusetts. People flew in just to see it. And I think it was because of the show, but I also think it was because we all felt a little ripped off when my mom was sick and when she passed away because it was all during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was finally a time that we could be like, we could finally mourn. And one woman described it as like communal grieving. And that was a stranger who had seen the show because the idea of the show was to be that we're at a funeral. We're at a memorial service. I wanted it to feel like, you know, that. And so I think, you know, my brothers were devastated when they were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, my significant other, Adam, he could barely get through it. My friend Sabrina Ambra made the videos for me. And she was doing the final edits and she couldn't get through it because she was like crying so much to try to put them together. And so I was so blind to that until I was doing it. And then after that final show, I crashed.
Yeah, you probably needed a week, 2 weeks.
It took a month.
Yeah.
Like it, I had to like Google, am I okay? But apparently if you push through a major thing like that,
yeah,
and you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, your whole nervous system can just go kaput at a certain point.
Well, yeah, it all catches up to you.
I didn't know that.
you were taking all of that grief and energy and then waiting for it to hit.
But I always think about like, yeah, but people go through crazy things all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Emily, you were just doing a Fringe show. Like, relax. That's what I told myself. Yeah. I'm like, why are you this tired? You perform all the time.
Yeah, I did 4 shows with Bob Hodges.
Oh, yeah,
and
yes.
After that first weekend, I got super sick.
Oh, no.
Well, because I it's the same thing.
Yes.
It was all the admin, and you finally get to the show.
Yes.
And this is something I had wanted to do, and I'm not comparing it. But
but you understand fully.
From the first time I went to Fringe back in, like, 94, I was this is something that I want to do.
Oh,
this is
old
a
school.
Checklist thing
yeah.
that I want to do because I was such a – I saw it and I was so – it was the magic of it just hit me so much.
Right.
And I got so sick. I didn't know – we almost had to cancel the second weekend. Luckily, we're only doing 4 shows.
Well, because it's not only the shows, right? Because
right.
then there's all the other – like
everything
you got to go see everyone else's shows.
Yep.
You want to go to the events. You want – you know, it's like it just doesn't stop for those 2 weeks.
Right.
And you're right. You look – you're so excited. But our bodies can't – like especially us. We're no spring chickens. No offense.
None taken.
And Bob just is running on a motor. Bob Hodges, who you did the show with.
Yeah.
He's running on a motor anyway. You can't compare yourself to him.
No.
You're sitting there going, Bob's fine. Well, he doesn't count.
Yeah.
He's doing Tai Chi. And
he's very centered, all of those things.
So, yeah. And so now I know, though. See, now I know. So if I ever traveled and did another Fringe, I'm aware now. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
It's a. Well,
and chances are, if you do that show, you're more prepared for it. But if you do another show, it's probably less of an emotional.
Exactly
total.
That.
Yeah.
Like, what you and Bob did is what I probably would prefer to be doing.
Yeah.
Things that are lighthearted and like you're communicating with
little
an audience.
Vignettes. Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. And I've always done fun shows. Like it's always been comedy. And this show is fun. No, everyone, just so you know, if
it's
you're listening.
Hilarious.
There is funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I mean, I'm talking for 50 minutes about like my favorite person in the universe. So, yeah. I mean, I have to pace myself.
It's the most fun you will have at
a funeral.
100%. Unless you really hated somebody.
Oh, and then you're seeing like how much other people loved them. You'd be like, ugh, this is gross.
Or you're just celebrating that they're gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you think that people do that? Oh, wait, they do. People celebrate when a bad person goes away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's more of that personal bad person.
Yeah.
Like, and I know you're listening.
I see.
One person.
And you know who you are.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not going anywhere.
I cannot wait to celebrate at your funeral.
You know who you are. Okay.
That got dark.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
So, 9 shows at the Fringe.
Yeah.
And they're bringing you back for another showing of Against Her Wishes. They're calling it Fringe Favorites.
Yeah, I think this was Chase's, a combination idea of Chase's. Like,
yeah.
I think so we're filming this.
Oh, okay.
Yes, like high-end, nice, 5-camera angle, like
how
professional.
How many Ks? Like 8K? 12K?
I don't know numbers.
22K?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
22K. We're
like,
doing it in 22K.
How many audio channels? Like, will I be able to surround sound?
Can I tell you that Chase is such a... Because, okay, so anyone that doesn't know Chase Padgett, brilliant guitarist, incredible performer, singer, show writer. I mean, you name it.
Improv,
everything.
Yeah.
Can do it all. Beatbox and freestyle. But he, during pandemic, he had already been filming people's shows for them in the past and editing them and doing that type of thing. But he became, you know, when people couldn't work, he became an editing master, like film editing master. And he collected all like the right equipment. He wants everything to look the right way, sound the right way. He's one of those people that he's not going to do it halfway.
Mm-hmm.
It has to look and sound and be right. And so he came to me and said, I would love to mount two Fringe shows at Jim and Alexis Pugh?
Yeah.
Okay. In that theater, he says that that's the best theater. He's filmed all around that building, but that's for some reason that room is really nice to film in.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, oh, you can?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's got all the space on the sides.
Oh, right. Those little eaves.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's plenty of places to get up and down. Walt Disney is just too big.
It's insane.
It's so big.
Well, and also, can you imagine? I mean, I'd like to say that it was a successful run, but I'm not putting people in the...
In the Walt Disney.
Yep. I'm not Tina Turner.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
I'm not Ike Turner.
Thank God.
Period.
The end.
Yes.
And won't ever be.
No.
So he asked me, and I thought that was really, that's important to me, because, and I'm not trying to be one of these people, but going back to the amplified voices thing, when you're a woman doing comedy, mm-hmm. and that's primarily what I do is comedy, you are around a lot of men, love men, okay? Everyone, if you're a man, I love you. That being said, men don't always, when they have an opportunity, right? They go to their crew, their friends, the people they work with. And many a time, it's also a lot of men. Mm-hmm. So when a man comes to a woman, like Chase coming to me, I felt like, oh, wow, that's, you could have given this opportunity to lots of people, but you're asking me. And I felt like that was really important. So you hear that, men? When an opportunity comes your way, pause. Don't ask your friend Mike yet.
Not Mike.
Go to Tracy first.
Tracy first.
And then Lisa. And then Steph. But if those three can't, go to Mike. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a good ratio.
Mm-hmm. Because I also saw that Chase was doing, he was just in Edmonton doing Edmonton Fringe. And he did another show with Tamisha Harris. So Tamisha is an incredible performer out of Orlando too. And I thought, look at that. Chase again. He paired up with a lady. He's thinking. Maybe he wasn't thinking. But to me, that's a visual. That's important.
I think, no, it does. And it does have some balance there, too. I don't know what the Edmonton was.
The men benefit. I shouldn't say that this is just a male thing, but everybody wins.
Yes.
I think that people are going to be, it's a more dynamic show. I think we've seen two dudes talking and doing things enough. No offense. I mean, we got it.
No.
We got it.
Yeah.
So throw a lady in. What's the worst? Okay. What's the worst? What's the worst that could happen you throw a lady in?
Well, we'll find out, I guess, at Fringe Favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It'll be the best. It won't be the worst.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah. So get your tickets now.
Yes.
You can go to the Dr. Phillips Center site. Against Her Wishes, that is Thursday, September 10th, mm-hmm. 7:30 p.m. You're opening, and then he's shutting it down.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Yes. His show has a better energy, I feel like, for second half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're both hour shows. It's not it's going to be this four-hour thing. So they're Fringe shows. They're 50-minute shows each an hour.
I feel like musicals these days feel like they're 6 hours now.
They're usually about 6 hours.
They feel that way.
Yeah.
Are you a musical fan?
I do like some of them. I was invited by my youngest child to go see Hadestown, the musical, the movie.
Well, I've heard that. The movie.
The movie, okay, which was with the original cast.
Oh,
which was nice.
Okay. Like a screening of the live
Hamilton.
Performance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So original cast. I'd never seen it before. I would love to see it live, but it did feel like it was, maybe they cut some stuff out. Obviously, there wasn't an intermission, so it was 2 hour 20.
2:20 without an intermission?
Yeah.
It's too long.
Oh, that was short to me.
That's what
a musical.
I mean.
Yeah.
I think musical, they're too long. I can't do it anymore. I can't sit.
Okay.
I went and saw the Cher musical. No offense to Cher. She's doing fine. But I went with my dear friend Rob, and I turned to him halfway through. I go, well, it seems like it's almost over. He said, we're not even at the intermission. And I said, I'm going to have to leave. I can't do this. I didn't
leave. What's your cap? Are you a 90-minute person now?
60.
60?
I'm a 60-minute. I say normalize 1 hour everything.
Yeah.
Normalize 1 hour everything. I want to go to a movie in a movie theater, 1 hour. I'm going to be sitting there for 3 hours. It's never worth it.
So you want to do the, would you do the, do you want the 1 hour cut?
No.
Or do you want the 3 hour movie split into 1 hour chunks and you almost get an episode?
Dear Hollywood, I want you to make a 1 hour movie. It's enough.
Okay.
I think they do kind of a little bit with, like, I feel like they're sneaky snaking it with, like, streaming programs.
Sure.
And they're giving us, you know, 45 minutes, four-part series on Netflix or whatnot.
Yeah.
And see, that I can handle. Because they designed it to be such.
Right. A little cliffhangy at the end.
But the last film I saw in the theater was, I almost said Against Her Wishes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is my show that's not in the theater.
It was Vampires in Brooklyn.
What's that?
Oh, it was an old Eddie Murphy movie.
Oh, my God. I know exactly what you're talking about. What a weird grab out of your head.
Thank you.
Why that?
Where'd
your brain go?
Well, it's Halloween's coming up.
Oh, my God. No, it's not. You're one of these two? Are you?
No. I don't like the spooky, scary stuff, and I certainly don't like it so early in the year.
Again, I'm one of these people. I have an opinion about everything.
You? From Massachusetts?
And I believe my opinion is correct. But it's, again, too soon with the stuff.
All right, so sorry.
Okay.
What was the last movie you saw in the theater?
One Battle After Another.
Okay.
And that is a long film.
That is a very long film.
However, have you seen that film?
A wonderful film.
It never stopped.
Yeah.
It never stopped. I was never sitting there thinking, oh, you know, when can we get out of here? Unless it's going to be like that, give me an hour.
Get the tension going.
Just
get some weird characters.
I just think you can't be making such long pieces that I don't think anyone would disagree that things are long.
So what about Dune?
I would rather get sand poured into my mouth and eyes and have to live under sand to after it. I saw the first one in the theater.
Yeah.
And I said to my Adam, I said, never.
Never again. No, absolutely Dune not. For me.
Did you go see the other one that everyone's yapping about, The Odyssey?
No.
Because that's ridiculous.
I'm Greek, so I already know it. Like, I know it in my bones. Plus, there's no Greeks in it. I'm like, this is.
Oh, are there?
Disappointing.
See, this is what I'm talking about. They make a 3-hour thing about a Greek thing, and there's no Greeks in it. And I'm sitting here watching 3 hours of Matt Damon and Anne Hathaway.
Very not Greek at all.
Not Greek at all.
Not authentic.
So that's all I'm saying. Just 1 hour for everything.
Okay. Unless it's One Battle After Another.
Unless it's going to just, you're
just grab
hitting
you
a home run. Yeah.
And just throwing you around like a ragdoll. I mean, I can't
name another. Could you name any other thing that you've watched that's that long that you'd want to go watch again?
Oh, the Hadestown musical was really good.
Well, I'm sure. I've heard that Hadestown is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you even saw like a shorter version.
Yeah, it was Greek people.
Oh, I did see that Kimberly Akimbo at Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center, and it was really wonderful, and it didn't feel too long. So now I guess that I'll back down from that a little bit.
All right, Hollywood, you're off the hook.
For now.
Just you wait, though.
Yeah, you just better be careful.
All right, so Against Her Wishes, How to Play Guitar Poorly, double feature, Fringe Favorites at Dr. Phillips, 7:30 p.m., Thursday, September 10th.
Get your tickets.
Get your tickets.
This is your songwriting again.
I'm so good at it. That's an original.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Let's play a song.
Oh, let's do it.
All of the songs today chosen by Emily. Thank you so much for
yours
doing that.
Yours truly.
I think that not only do I hear from bands that I haven't thought of in a while, like Pizzicato 5, which started off the set with Sweet Soul Review, songs that I haven't heard in a while that I love, Luscious Jackson, Ladyfingers on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree.